Father, that is our prayer this morning, that you would help us to grow in peace and grow in love. We thank you for your love for us that changes everything. And so as we spend these weeks taking a look at that love, we pray that you would speak to us a clear word that we can take with us out into our lives next week. Lord, may we not just be hearers of your word, but doers. Help us to be a congregation that fulfills the new commandment to love one another as you have loved us. So speak to us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Great job, Kayak, as always. Yeah. So as I said, we are continuing this series of messages today on this new love that Jesus Christ brought into the world. And just as with grace, you know, and we took a look at grace for 8 to 10 weeks, whatever it was, I said that grace is like a diamond with many different faces. So it is with love as well. And we could spend weeks and weeks and weeks on this. We're just going to spend this week and next week. But we're going to take another face today, another kind of aspect of this great love that Jesus brought into the world. To do that today, we're going to look at a great, really a very interesting passage of scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. So let me read that to you now. This passage of scripture, in fact, Timothy is 1 and 2, is a letter from the Apostle Paul to this young man named Timothy. And so this is the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience as my ancestors did. When I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day, recalling your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle, or another translation says, fan into flame, the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. You are powerful. Each one of us here today possesses tremendous power. Now, sometimes we don't think of ourselves as powerful, but I want to tell you today, you are powerful because every day, with people you meet, you have the chance to build them up or to tear them down, to help them flourish or diminish. You have the opportunity really to help them to become the person whom God has created them to be, or perhaps something less. Every encounter you have throughout every day, you have this possibility and you have the power that God has given you to enhance somebody's life. Now, if you don't believe me, I'm going to pull out the big gun. I'm pulling out C.S. Lewis today. Because C.S. Lewis says the same thing. You know, if you've never read The Weight of Glory, I think this is one of the best things that Lewis ever wrote. This and Screwtape Letters are my two favorites, but this is just a sermon, so you can read it very quickly. Well, it's pretty heady, but you can read it. It's not that long, and you can say, hey, I read one of the works of C.S. Lewis in, you know, a couple hours, so that's good just in itself. But this is a sermon, actually, that he gave in 1941. Now, remember, 1941, everything is in the shadow of power of Hitler, right? And so he preached this sermon in Oxford in 1941, and he deals with a number of themes in this sermon. But one of them is that we are created for glory. We are created for glory. And that when we have these yearnings for glory, we shouldn't downplay them, but rather see that they are there because God has placed them in our heart. And so he kind of develops the theme, and then he comes to the end, and this is toward the very end of the sermon. And here are the practical applications of this truth that we are created for glory. And he writes this. Now listen, this is amazing. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. To remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you can talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you'd be strongly tempted to worship. Or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. All day long, we are, in some degree, helping each other to one or other of these destinations. It is in light of these overwhelming possibilities. It is with the awe and circumspection proper to them that we should conduct all our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all politics, all play. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? I remember the first time I read that, I was just so struck by it. And then, see, I felt the weight of it. This is why he calls it the weight of glory. And he later says, you know, don't become so solemn all the time because of this weight, but, you know, rather enjoy it in merriment. But isn't that really just a powerful reading about the interactions that we have every day with people? There are no ordinary people. We're all moving in one direction or another, and our interactions determine much of that. Now, when I ask you today, have you ever had someone in your life who has helped you move toward being the person that God created you to be? As you reflect on your life, do you see those people that helped you to see yourself in a new light that perhaps you never, ever saw before? Have you ever had someone that empowered you? And this is what we're talking about today, really, is empowering love or encouraging love. You know, as I was thinking about this week, of course, my mind went back to my life and the people who had that place in my life. And fortunately, I have had a number of people throughout my life who have taken the time to stop and to see something in myself that I could never see on my own. I remember when I first became a Christian, I've talked about this, and in seventh grade, you know, I started growing in my faith, and my senior year of high school, there was a guy who was just a continuation teacher, a teacher at a continuation high school in our town, who started a Bible study on Monday nights. It grew to like 100 kids, all unchurched kids for the most part. Amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People have gone on from that Bible study to lead churches and serve as missionaries. I mean, it was just an amazing, serious, amazing pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And this man, his name was John Archer, took time my senior year in high school to meet with me every week, early in the morning. I can't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever it was. We'd have breakfast. And then we would read a passage of scripture together, and we would share our lives, and we would pray for each other. Just invested in me. And I'll never forget one morning, he said to me, "Steve, you know, I see gifts in you." Now, I didn't see these gifts. I'm a squirrely teenager. He said, "I see gifts in you that rival, that are similar to our pastor, the pastor of our church." I mean, here was God, and then here was our pastor right below God, right? He said, "Steve, you could be doing this someday." No idea I'd ever have. You know, I got to be honest with you. When I first started preaching, I'd get physically sick. I was so scared. You can ask my wife. Never thought I could do it. Never thought I could lead a church. And he said, "Steve, you have these gifts. You can do it." He saw something in me that I could never see in myself. Never even in my wildest dreams. And then I've had other people throughout, you know, that have done the same thing, called forth gifts, encouraged, built me up. You know, we're all called to do that. We're all called to encourage each other. We're all called to love one another in this way. This is a very practical side of love. That we, I mean, there's all kinds of words that the scriptures use. Just encourage alone is listed over 100 times in the Bible. But spur one another on. Build each other up. Encourage each other. You know, you look at Jesus. This is what he was about. I love to just walk through the Gospels. Look at how Christ encountered people. Go back and see. Every time he met with someone, he was moving them forward. He was giving them a picture of their preferred future. He was helping them to see themselves in a new way. He was empowering people. He was all about empowering folks. Even when he had these discussions with the Pharisees and the religious leaders, which seemed harsh, right? He was trying to set them free. He was trying to help them go deeper in God's love. He was trying to help them become the person who God created them to be. Part of our calling as brothers and sisters in Christ, we are to encourage one another and build each other up. This letter that I read this morning from Paul to Timothy, this is what he's doing. Let me kind of set the scene for you here. Paul is, of course, the aging apostle. We think this letter may have been the last letter he ever wrote. He's from in prison, not at, like in Philippians where he was under house arrest. He's in a dark dungeon, most likely. And he sees his life coming to an end. And what he's doing in this passage is he's taking the baton and he's passing it on to Timothy. This ministry. Now, he calls him his son. He's not his, you know, biological son. He is a son in Christ. He has mentored him. He has spent time with him. He's invested in his life. And it's now time for Timothy to take over. And Timothy wants no part of it, most likely. He's timid by nature. Paul is strong. You can tell by Paul's writing, probably a big personality. And here's this guy who's kind of timid by nature. That's why Paul says, God didn't give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of what? Power and self-discipline, courage. And so he's passing this baton on to Timothy, and he's trying to build him up and help him see himself in a new light. And you can see it in this passage. You know, first of all, "Oh, I long to see you." He affirms his love for him. And then he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that was first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice." I think we should bring those names back for girls, don't you think? Lois and Eunice. If you're going to have a baby girl, there you go. Two great names. What he's saying here is, you know, it's just not me, Paul, but the body of Christ, your mother, your grandmother have poured into you. They've invested in you. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame or rekindle the gift. Now, we don't know what the gift is. He doesn't mention it. I'm sure they've had conversations before. And Paul is saying, now remember this gift that God has given you. You know, God has given gifts to each one of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, remember that gift, Timothy. Use it. God's going to use it in powerful ways. Rekindle it and get to work. And then look at the result of the work of the Spirit in a person's life. Did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power, dynamite, dunamis, and of love, agape, this love that we've been talking about, and self-discipline, clear-mindedness, skillful living, saying, God's going to use you, Timothy. In this passage, we see really, you know, there are two words that we see in the scriptures that have primarily to do with this encouragement and building up. One is parakaleo. It's para, coming alongside, kaleo, call. It's one of my favorite Greek words. It's a picture of someone just walking alongside of you, or maybe in a race. You know, the scriptures describe the Christian life as a race that we run. Sometimes we get weary, don't we? Sometimes we get tired. Sometimes our shoulders slump a bit, and we need brothers and sisters running alongside of us, don't we? This is not a solo journey. We need brothers and sisters when we're weary and they're strong, who are gonna walk alongside and call out, kaleo, encouragement. Remind us that we can do it, that God's gonna accomplish his work, parakaleo, calling out. That's one. The other one is build one another up. It's construction language. Build each other up. This is what I see as affirming in another person the gifts that God has given to that person. Such an important part of the body of Christ. That we look, we take time, and we discern in another person the gifts that God has given to that person, and we affirm them verbally. Wow. Beth, you have the gift of compassion. You have it. Use it. James, you have the gift of wisdom. I see it on the elder board. Fan into flame that gift. Talk to each other. Lee Wan, I think she has a couple gifts. I think she's using them. But can we call them out, appreciate them, affirm them? Boy, especially with younger people, to affirm what they can't see in themselves. Martin Buber, the Jewish philosopher and author and scholar, here's what he said. This is a great quote. The greatest thing any person can do for another is to confirm the deepest thing in him or her. To take time. Take that time. And see, this is what's so crucial. To live life leisurely enough, huh? To take time to see what's in that other person and have the discernment to see what's most deeply there, most fully that person, that unique creation of Christ. You know, there's no one else exactly like you. You bring to the body of Christ something no one else can do, because there's only one you. Most deeply there, most fully that person, and then confirm it by recognizing and encouraging it. Recognizing it and then encouraging it. Affirming it. Now imagine for a second. Imagine. A church full of people like this. That every Sunday when we come, you know, we just don't come and kind of go through the motions. But we look for people to affirm, to encourage, to build up, both in their absence and in their presence. Can you imagine? I mean, let's face it, folks. We live out in the world every week. It's kind of tough out there, isn't it? I mean, you get up, you go to work, you fight traffic, you work. to pay your mortgage? I mean, the Bay Area, it's a rough place to live. Beautiful. I'm thankful. But it kind of beats you up a little bit, doesn't it? You work and then you fight traffic. And then you fight traffic. I was talking to someone today. They said they have a little boy. They were at the park and, you know, he wet his pants and he left his clothes there. He took him, the kid home, and then he realized, oh, I forgot the clothes there. He had to go back. It took him like 40 minutes just to go back because of the traffic. All this stuff just wears you out, doesn't it? I have a good friend, my best friend since first grade. That was a while ago. Actually, you know who he is? Melissa and Jesus Arseniega? Melissa's older brother. Melissa and Jesus have been in this church a long time. I remember when Melissa came home from the hospital. She was pretty cute, I'll tell you. But he's my best friend. He's a businessman. He's in the business world. And it's his job, I think. I think he's kind of taken on this job of telling me how to be a pastor to real people in real times, right? So I don't get so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good, right? So he's a big personality, gregarious, funny, life of the party kind of guy. And he went through a time, I could tell his shoulders were slumping, hard time in life. First time I'd ever really seen him like that. He said, Steve, let me tell you something. When you get up to preach on Sunday, give them hope. He goes, just realize that there are people out there in the congregation that are struggling and have had a hard week or maybe going through a hard time in their life and they need hope, they need encouragement. He goes, you know, during that time, I'd go to church and I was like a thirsty man just waiting for some water, some hope and encouragement from the pulpit, from my brothers and sisters in Christ. And he said, I didn't get it a whole lot. So you know what I do? I always put at the bottom of when I'm writing my sermons, where's the good news? Thanks to Bill Armas. Where's the hope? But folks, you know, every week we come, we should be building each other up. And not just here on Sunday, but especially here. Building one another up through how we welcome each other, how we converse with each other, how we love each other, how we worship, how the sermon. Man, building each other up so what? We're strong so that when we go out there to be witnesses in the world, we got some strength. We don't come here to get torn down, right? But to be built up. To affirm in each other what we can't see. And here's what I would say in a small group, especially that's what small groups are for. I think this is where we are affirmed for who we are and people know us deeply and they can see, they can take that time to discern. That's why one of the reasons why I think small groups are so important, that we build each other up. I'll close with this. I read a book, probably, oh, it's probably 25 years ago now, when I was a young man. And it was a book written by Gordon MacDonald, who has written some really good books. This book wasn't very good, to be honest with you, so I'm not going to tell you the name. But there was a chapter in that book that I'll never forget. And it was the title of the chapter was a question. And the question was this: what kind of old man do I want to be? What kind of old man do I want to be? Isn't that a great question? To think toward the end of your life, at the first service I was saying, you know, to think toward when you're in your 60s and they said, and I said 70s, they said, I said 80s, I said, all right, when you're over 100 years old, you know, what type of person do you want to be? And his whole point was, you know, begin with the end in mind. And fortunately, as a pastor, I think about this a lot when I'm doing memorial services and I'm hearing people share about their loved one. How can you not help but think, what is somebody going to say at my memorial service? And how am I going to get there? Because his point was, you know what you do in your 20s and your 30s, and this is for you, in your 40s and your 50s, is going to determine what kind of old man or woman you're going to be in that last chapter of life? Isn't that a great question? And he mentioned things, great things. I want to be a person of gratitude. Oh, I would agree. I've observed people at the end of their lives. Here's what I think. You either become grateful or bitter, resentful or grateful. I'm going to take gratitude. Gratitude, that you keep growing intellectually. He said that you keep serving, that you keep making a difference. And he said that you're compassionate and gracious. Wow, those are good things, but here's the one I remember. That you cheer on the next generation. I like that. Maybe you don't agree with everything they do or how they do it. They're probably doing it wrong, but you cheer them on. And I remember thinking, Lord, I want to be that kind of person. I want to cheer on the next generation. I want to be their greatest cheerleader. I want to see in them things maybe they don't see in themselves. And if I have something to offer to them and to learn from them, I want to be that kind of person. How about you? Cheer them on. And maybe, you know, I said in the first service, I'd like to think that they think that I'm cool too, but that's secondary. Cheer them on. Now, all of us have a generation behind us, don't we? We don't have to be old. But to look at a little kid, get down, coffee hour, get down on our knees and look at that little kid in the eyes. Let them know that they're loved. To teach Sunday school, to be in youth group programs. When we get older, to take a young couple out for dinner, encourage them. Call forth their gifts. I want to be that kind of old man. Now, I don't know when I'm going to get old. My staff tells me and Tom that we're old men. They always kid about it. Tom, I think, probably is there. I'm not quite there yet. But Tom and I were talking about it. We said, they don't know anything. They're just kids anyways. They don't know anything. Can we be that kind of church? Not programmatically so much, but just organically? Or we just build each other up and encourage each other and love one another as Christ has loved us? Amen.